That's a good thing. Good morning. As we begin our celebration this morning and as we prepare to worship Almighty God, let us join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning, and a very special welcome to all of those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you have a very meaningful worship experience and that you will feel welcome here at Main Street. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street, and if you'll give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those attendance pads down the pew, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. We have a very special service today as we celebrate the anniversary of the independence of our country, but we're not only celebrating the anniversary of our independence, we're celebrating our independence. And please, this week, as we celebrate that, keep in mind all of those men and women who put themselves in harm's way each and every day to ensure that we do have the freedoms and the independence that we do have. Richard Pinckney asked me to please let you know that our new website is up. It has the same address, www.msumc1. I have to read it, Richard. I can't remember it without reading it. msumc1.org. So check it out, and hopefully it will be much more informative, and we're going to try to keep that up to date. So check out the new website. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand for our call to worship. O come, let us sing to the Lord. O come, let us sing to the Lord. O come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us sing a song of love for this and every people. O come, let us sing to the Lord, the God of all creation.
Thank you. the choir? If so, let's come on down. We need you. No veterans in the choir. Okay, we got them. Gentlemen, this is our day. You've earned the role of a veteran of the United States of America. We as veterans do pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pass the peace. As you regain your seat, I'll ask you to join me in the invocation as found in your bulletin. Please join me. God, we thank you for those who put their lives on the line in the search for peace with justice. May hardened attitudes be broken down and wounded souls healed, that your peace may come and your will be done. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We do have some concerns that are not in the bulletin. As we go into our time of prayer, I would like to lift up Peggy Ackerman, who is in the hospital even as we speak, having some tests run. Ron Miller is home recovering from surgery. Evelyn Rambo, test. For the family of Carol Scurry, Lori Ann Haygood, recovering from surgery. For my father, who is in the hospital in Spartanburg, Charlie West and Cindy Harris, both recovering from full knee replacements. Charlie is here today. I have not seen Cindy, but both recovering from that. Lane Wiedemann, recovering from surgery. For Salkehatchee, the mission camps, both our people going to Bamberg and the folks who will be coming here next Saturday to work on three different homes in Greenwood. And by the way, we need ladders. If you have a ladder with your name on it, we need it next week. For Caroline Hawthorne, who was in the hospital this past week. For the family of Mary Elizabeth Doherty, who passed away this past week. And also we offer sympathy to Dorothy Turnley upon the death of her sister. We're very happy to have Jenny Hammond with us today and her daughter Kay. Jenny, who gave these flowers in honor of her late husband, and also just the fact that she can be with us today. We're thankful for that. Let us pray. Creator God, who freely gave us life and being and consciousness, we thank you for the freedom to dream and imagine. But we imagine a world that never was. We imagine a world at peace, without hunger, without poverty, without war or hatred or strife. We've tried to make our dreams come true, and each time it falls apart. Why, Lord, can we not do the things that make for peace? Why do we back ourselves into a corner each time of selfish desires competing against other people's selfish desires over and over again? Why do we tend to use our freedom to take instead of give? Lord, there is something wrong with all of humanity. Give us each a measure of your spirit to be able to love and care for others, even for enemies. Make us a people who reflect the love of Christ, who do not dishonor the name Christian by our use of freedom. In our time, in our country, in our lives, we have much freedom, and we give you thanks. Lord, guide us to use it to reveal the great grace and love of God in Christ. We do pray for those caught up in war and for those civilians victimized by acts of terror. We do pray for the hearts that hate and kill. We do pray for the influence of your Spirit upon the leaders of the nations of this world, that your will might be more perfectly done. And Lord, we pray the prayers of our hearts for those concerns we have mentioned, and for those private concerns we lift only up to you. Lord, hear our prayers in this moment of silence. Yes, Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite the children down front now for the children's time with Kathy Johnson.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's wonderful to have you all here today on this very special Sunday in the life of our church called Independent Sunday. I brought something to share with you. Who can tell me what this is?
The American flag.
The American flag. Thank you so much. That's exactly right. Do you know what a symbol is? Something that represents something else? Often something very important that represents something else? That's just what this is. The American flag represents the freedoms of our country. One important freedom is the freedom of religion, the fact that we can sit in our beautiful church today and worship as we please. This happened many, many years ago when people many miles away across the ocean came to our country to settle, and one reason they came here was so that they could worship as they please. Another important thing that this flag represents are our soldiers, those men and women who are serving throughout the country today. Some of them might be in as close as Columbia, South Carolina. Some might be on the border of Canada or in England or perhaps in Afghanistan or Iran or Iraq. Wherever they may be, these soldiers are there to protect us, to make our country safe, you and me, and also to protect the freedoms we enjoy throughout our lives. And something else this flag represents is those wonderful people who have given their lives for our country through the years, who indeed have made our country safe through the years. So remember, whenever you see a beautiful flag flying somewhere, maybe in, over the post office or a neighbor's yard, perhaps in our beautiful church here, remember in your mind and heart that it's a symbol for many other things. Okay? Would you pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, thank you today for our church, for our country, and for the many men and women who have, made our country a safe place. In Jesus' name, our Lord, amen. Thank you.
Which is free. We praise you, Father, for the privilege of living in such a beautiful, blessed land. We put our trust in your unfailing sovereignty, and we thank you, Lord, for pouring your grace on us and this great nation. Generation to generation, you have shown your love and guidance, thank you, Lord, for those who have sacrificed their very lives so that we may worship you freely this day. May you strengthen our nation now and always. Amen.
I know that was the high point of worship today, but I'm going to preach anyway. Today, if you'd like to follow along, I will be preaching from Galatians, which is in your pew Bibles on, I believe, page 232. I'll be preaching from this text, beginning with 5th chapter, verse 1. Hear now God's word. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I have been doing for the past few weeks, I'll remind you where we are on the balloon payment for the renovations and the new building. We have whittled that away down into the 130-something thousand zone as of today. Having started out at 420,000, we've done quite well. We have about two more weeks to do the rest of it. It would be a miraculous thing, but miraculous things happen. We'll pray for that and your cooperation. Let us worship God through the giving of our tithes, offerings, and special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these returns, these tithe unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Gospel reading is from Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 51. Hear now God's word. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. And then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith through this ancient proclamation. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Before I begin my sermon, I realized in the silent time of prayer that I had left out Sue Maloney's name. I saw Sue Wednesday night and found out that Sue had fallen when she was out of town on vacation and broken her arm very badly, had to have surgery to have it repaired, and also torn her rotator cuff. And it also occurred to me during our prayer time that eventually Sue's arm's going to get better, and she would smack me if I didn't announce. No, she wouldn't do that, no. But we as a congregation do need to know that Sue did tear her arm up very badly and will be laid up for some time. Let her be in your prayers. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's a funny thing to preach today. I started to think about what way to take it, and then I saw the Galatians text on freedom and the misuse of freedom. We live in a world where technology has been advancing more and more rapidly every decade since about 1900, and technological advances almost always are turned into advances of warfare. So it is, and so is our world. Think about those bicycle builders, you know, the Wright brothers, who built a flying machine for the adventure and the love of it. And just a very few years later in World War I, their invention was used first to scout out enemy positions, then to drop a hand grenade or two. And that's not my point. My point is this, an interesting bit of trivia, which happened when they first mounted machine guns in the logical place aimed dead ahead where the pilot was looking in those first airplanes, at least where the pilot ought to be looking. Now just envision these little bitty airplanes straight ahead, and what's straight ahead? You know what happened? Do you know? Can you see the problem with that arrangement? Straight ahead in those tiny little planes was the one and only place where the one and only propeller was. And they were shooting through it. There was no radio to ground control. They were free, free as a bird to fly where they wished, to shoot at will, whatever they wanted to shoot at, and at any time they felt like shooting. And there were no parachutes. And occasionally, they shot off their own propeller. That's the moment in those bad old movies when they looked at the camera and said, uh-oh, and went down. Now later, they created synchronization gears, and they worked as long as they stayed synchronized. But if they got out of sync, and the pilot used his own volition and judgment to shoot at whatever he pleased, once again, out of sync, he shot off his own propeller and went down. The Apostle Paul says, "We are free. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become servants to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we've heard that before, but maybe we haven't heard it as a check and a balance against our freedom, against unlimited freedom. And my wife Caroline taught in the public school system for several years, and she had a standard lecture she told me about for her middle school kids in Bamberg when they misunderstood unlimited use of freedom. And she would say, "All right, let's talk about freedom. Am I free to go to my home and throw rocks and break out all my windows?" And the kids said, "Yes, that would be stupid, but you can." And she said, "All right. But I am free to do that stupid thing." And they'd say, yes, I guess so. And then she would say, okay, then I'll go to your house and I'll throw rocks and break out all your windows. And they said, no, I'd call the law. I'd call the law. And then she would say, so my freedom ends when I damage somebody else's property. And the kid said, yes, you can't go around damaging other people's property. You can't do that. So Caroline's concluded her talk, as I understand it, then freedom does have limits. Paul is saying, we are no longer our own. We belong to God. You are somebody else's property. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Don't go around damaging yourself or others. Don't go around in the name of almighty freedom shooting off your own propeller, throwing rocks at your own house. The power to soar free and the earthly home you live in both belong to God. When you read this Galatians passage more carefully, you'll see that the sins Paul is most concerned about are the selfishness and the hurtful behavior toward others and the harmful behavior toward yourself. The conclusion is, serve God with your freedom. After all, you belong to God. You were bought with a price. Freedom is important. Freedom is worth celebrating, but freedom from what and freedom for what? You know, Paul practically screams at the Galatians, you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. And when a rabbi who knows well his history and the enslavement of his people in Egypt cries out freedom, he knows what he means. Each year at Passover, Paul would have eaten the meal that centered around the news, once we were slaves and now we are free. Stories of freedom were built into his bones. It was after that freedom that God gave the Jewish people that the Ten Commandments were given. And they boiled down to, you guessed it, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, to stay really free, you need to stay in sync with God and in sync with your neighbor. If you try to live out of sync with God and neighbor, you'll probably end up shooting off your own propeller and doing really stupid things like breaking the windows out of your own house, harming others, or the earthly temple, the body God gave you to live in. Freedom was not given to break off from God or to break your neighbor in half or to break down your body. That's not what God wants done. Paul did not always understand freedom that way, and we know about Paul when he was called Saul. There was a time in his life when Paul had a twisted understanding of serving God. Paul was ready to kill and to murder. He misunderstood. He thought he was right and righteous. He was captive to a twisted understanding of God and neighbor and self. And then Paul met Jesus. On a dusty road to Damascus, he met the crucified and risen Christ. And in that meeting with Jesus, hearing his voice and his call, Paul experienced grace, a grace that truly set him free and opened his eyes. That's always what Jesus offers us, the grace that sets us free. After all, Jesus was the one sent by God to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free. Scholar and theologian Walter Brueggemann says this of Jesus. Time after time, Jesus led people out of cold, secure oppressions and into the wilderness of freedom. To those enslaved by hunger, he gave the freedom of food. And to the guilt-ridden, he announced forgiveness and gave freedom of new life with God. And he came to lepers and he who had been excommunicated from their families and their friends because of their disease, and he freed them to go back into their communities where all the resources for well-being were stored up. In meeting Jesus and hearing his voice and his call, Paul experienced that kind of freedom. He was free from his zealous desire that brought him such anger and bitterness and hatred that he wanted to kill Christians. That's what he was going to Damascus for. He was free from those terrible and twisted demands of the law that he struggled with all of his life to keep and found that he could not. He was free from his own past sins, his own times of failure, his times of missing the mark with God. And he was free from the fear of death. Once he had been a slave to all of these things, but no more. Now he was free. And so it was with great passion that he wrote to the Galatians, "For freedom Christ has set us free." No longer blind and captive, he saw those whom he had hated as beloved by God, insiders and outsiders, beloved by God in Christ. He now knew and loved God, neighbor, and self, even enemy. And he couldn't imagine going back into slavery, back into selfishness, back into hatred, and back into fear. He was now in sync with God and with neighbor. And that is the freeing gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul preached. Through Jesus, Paul entered into a new relationship with God, and by the power of the Spirit, Paul began a journey of transformation. I say began. He entered a life where love and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control were real possibilities for him. Now, Paul was in no way perfect in any of these areas, but he knew that by the power of the Spirit, they could be more real and become more often a part of his life. He was growing, as he said elsewhere, and putting on the mind of Christ. He could stand firm in his freedom. It's what he wanted for the Galatians, to grow in those same spiritual attributes. And it's what God wants for every one of us. This is what you are freed for. A life where love and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control are real possibilities. And so open your eyes. And open your arms and open your hearts to the freedom of God in Christ. And give yourself to the God who by grace gave himself to us. Then you will be truly free to love and to forgive as you have been loved and been forgiven. True freedom. Amen. As you are already standing, let us join together in the litany for Christian unity. Let us ask the Lord to strengthen in all Christians faith in Christ, the Savior of the world.
Listen to us, O Lord.
Let us ask the Lord to sustain and guide Christians with his gifts along the way to full unity.
Listen to us, O Lord.
Let us ask the Lord for the gift of unity and peace for the world.
Listen to us, O Lord.
Let us pray. We ask you, O Lord, for the gifts of your Spirit. Enable us to penetrate the depth of the whole truth and grant that we may share with others the goods you have put at our disposal. Teach us to overcome divisions. Send us your Spirit to lead to full unity, your sons and daughter, in full charity, in obedience to your will. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Receive this blessing. Open your eyes, open your arms, open your hearts to the freedom of God in Christ. Do give yourself to the God who by grace gave himself to you. Do love and forgive as you have been loved and forgiven, and you will be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.